Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today I'm having back on one of my favorite people, Miss Lynn Taylor. The last show that we did, we got into a lot of information about our education system. And it just astounds me, Lynn, that just when you think you understand where this is going, it is just, it's like an onion. The more you peel, the more you realize how ridiculous this all is and how they're playing for keeps. This is not a joke. And any parent with a child of school age, I don't care if it's public or private education, really has to be on their P's and Q's because they're coming at our kids 110 miles an hour. You sent me a link, and we're going to talk about a lot of things today. But one of the things I think parents don't know about is something going on in Georgia with the curriculum. And there was a lesson plan that really, quite frankly, made me ill to read it about an English lesson and cannibalism. And I don't even know what to say. Who comes up with these lesson plans? Is it the teacher? Or do you think this is a bigger picture?
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Elena, for asking. And, you know, I think it's a combination of not only the curricula companies, but also the teacher, because let's face it, the teacher does have a little bit of freedom still to pick and choose. And why this was chosen, from what I can understand from the original source, it was done as a satire. But here was what was the thing. It wasn't just about cannibalism. It was the cannibalism in the style of Jeffrey Dahmer.
I mean, that says it all, doesn't it? How can you even tie that to a lesson plan for children?
Well, here was the disturbing part for me, was it said, you know, here we need you to create a business model to solve a problem. And that is, there's not enough food to eat. So let's start eating children.
I mean, who comes up with that? I mean, you know, there seems to be one theme through this. I don't care if it's the real world or in the school world. Mm-hmm. There's a lack of empathy, and there's a lack of the feeling that being human is valuable. It's been completely discounted at this point.
Well, absolutely. But here's what we need to understand, Dr. Elena, is that, you know, back in the, I think it was late 80s or early 90s, one of the education warriors by the name of Anita Hogue was fighting in Pennsylvania this formative assessment that had some of the same kind of questions on it about, you know, okay, there's an old lady who needs to cross the street. Would you help her or would you push her out into the street? Now, mm-hmm. You were never given another option. You either could help or you could harm. There was never any leeway for you to stop and think, hey, what would I do? Well, naturally, we were taught you help people. You don't harm them. But mm-hmm. when you have these social and emotional mind-bending things that are coming at you, not only from your school, but some of these games, and that's where some of the artificial intelligence is leading into a lot of this, because you have, you know, these algorithms that are measuring your response to these do or die situations. But I know that your audience cannot see some of the information that I put in my particular article. And if you want to access the article so that you could see these images, now there's nothing graphic, but the language that is used is what is so disturbing. You could go to commoncorediva.com and you can look for the article that says Diabolic Education.
You know, this reminds me of a real world example. I think it's the Milgram experiment, where people were given the button to shock people, and the person wasn't in the room with them, but they could hear what was going on. And by the end of the experiment, they were having no problem pushing right. buttons until the person technically wouldn't be no longer on this earth. And they did it. And this seems to be the same thing. You desensitize people, you make it okay mm-hmm. to just discount them. There's no harm or foul. It's just what you do.
Right. Right. Absolutely. I was just going to say, in some of the comments that were made on this original source, and this was found on Facebook, I think it's the Protect Student Health Georgia Facebook page. If you want to find it there, you'll see the images as well. But one of the comments said, well, this was supposed to be in comparison to Dr. Jonathan Swift's 1790 modest proposal. Now, if you go back and you look, and again, this will be in the article, I explained to you that what Dr. Swift was proposing, yes, it was an outlandish proposal, and that was, okay, we have a problem here in Ireland. Remember, this was 1790, and we have a problem. Our government's not giving our citizens enough to eat. Well, here I've got a proposal. We'll take all the skinny, underprivileged kids who are so poor that their parents can't take care of them, and we'll go and we'll fatten them up and we'll feed them to the rich people. Now, he tells you by the end of his booklet, Dr. George, that he's not considering doing this. He's trying to use it as a attention grabber for the government to get off their bottoms and do something to help the citizens there in Ireland. But that part was left out of this particular assignment that we're seeing here in 2021. So what was said was, okay, you have to problem solve this. Now I need you to come up with a business model, and you're supposed to have mass production, distribution, and a target audience. And it was absolutely horrible what was featured. Let me read you what the mass production model said, if you'll give me just a moment, sure. Because the image was really hard to read, but I was able to get most of the words. And it says here, for mass production, quote, for mass production, we would encourage that the U.S. government create a business negotiation with China about being able to reduce their population by donation of their children to the government. We plan to take all children from orphanages and foster care to the processing plant. Now, the distribution part of this particular model says that the meat would be processed much like beef jerky so that it won't spoil and can be preserved longer. And then the model of the model's name for this particular group of students, because you were supposed to do this in groups and then upload it to a website so that everyone could see it. They named their business Dahmer's Mini Camp, You Are What You Eat. And lastly, the target market for this particular student business would be the low-income poverty areas and countries.
I mean, the lack of empathy and respect for humanity, it's astounding. And yet it still keeps the same mindset of the haves and the have-nots. And it's okay to do what you want if you're part of that elite group.
Yeah.
Is this indoctrinating people or kids to think that because they think they're special, that everybody else is expendable?
Absolutely. Because if you've seen some of the things that we've talked about in our earlier interviews, you know, with the Common Core machine rolling around, it absolutely is setting up more division than ever. And, you know, in our present society, that's what we're seeing is division everywhere. You've got the haves and the have-nots, as you've said. But I wanted to point out, because I know where we left off on part one, you said you wanted to talk about artificial intelligence mm-hmm. and blockchain and how it could tie into what we were talking about then, but certainly how it ties in to right now, what we're talking about. All right. Artificial intelligence use of cannibalism is used with an example that is out of a university in the United Kingdom, but you can find it elsewhere as well. And this is missionaries and native people. So they're going to pit the missionaries and the natives they're supposed to be witnessing to against each other. And this will tie in through education, through all the coding courses that we've seen popped up in the name of science, technology, engineering, and math, or the STEM, which we know, as previous discussions have revealed, that is a tool from the United Nations. Well, if you look at the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, number one is no poverty. And remember, this whole model, Swift's model of what he was proposing, was all based on what? Poverty.
Well, you know, Lynn, I want to take a break because I don't want to get into this topic and then cut you off in the middle.
Right.
But I want people to think about this. Poverty is become, it's not something to be rectified, it's something to be used, and not in a good way. So let's take a break and come back and delve into that when we return. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Lynn Taylor, also known as the Common Core Diva. And she has a website, commoncorediva.com. And she's recognized as an educational researcher, writer, and speaker. And her website is a wealth of knowledge, where you can see other shows that she's been a guest on, read her blogs, and get this information because it's so chock full. We're just scratching the surface when you come on. I just want people to whet their appetite so they can know what they don't know. And before the break, you talked about the sustainable goals in the UN. Mm-hmm. And it always sounds great, doesn't it, in paper? No poverty, no child left behind, diversity and equality. And honestly, it's the opposite. Every time they spout mm-hmm. something, you better believe it's the opposite of what they're talking about.
Right. And that's because they are using buzzwords that they know will ring well in our ears. But of course, because it's another entity that is supposed to be, you know, a de facto rule, which we really shouldn't have in America, we're seeing these things used against us. And I want to go back to the artificial intelligence things, because I was saying that, you know, there was this model that was used in a university there in United Kingdom, but you can find it in other areas as well. We were talking about the coding. Well, this is a lot of what we're seeing happen with elementary students and students who are just getting into computers by the time they hit the school system. And it's not necessarily just our public school system. You can find these coding courses for homeschoolers as well. So every education choice in every education age suddenly has been told, because we need to get ourselves in the technology of the fourth industrial revolution, that we all have to know how to run a computer. We all have to know how to write code. We all have to have some sort of algorithm. Well, the negative side of all this is that the coding is being used against us to create these algorithms that do measure our responses mentally and physically through biometrics and these algorithms. So this is going to help set up the blockchain profile of you, of what you will allow, what you won't. And as we've seen with the Chinese credit system and its use of the blockchain, this will be used to reward you or punish you for your behavior.
You know, I'm thinking about this from a sci-fi standpoint. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine that you select out the people who are the least empathetic, the most psychotic, the one who'll do whatever they're told to do to stay in mm-hmm. that 1%. And they're going to be the ones that go, you know, they usher through to the management positions. Because in this a system where it's decided for you what mm-hmm. you're going to be in this society, whether you're going to be an engineer or doctor, lawyer. You don't get to decide that anymore. Some right. algorithm will do it. So
yes, an algorithm based on an online assessment. And we can tie every bit of this kind of stuff to the initiative that was started by several administrations ago about computer science. And then when President Obama was in office, he came up with an initiative called Computer Science for All. Now, Trump extended that particular initiative as well, so that it now has been codified into other laws when it was supposed to be just an initiative. Now, there's a big difference between an initiative and a law, but because it's been put into a law, and let's point out that it is an unconstitutional one, but it's also being honored, that Congress has continued this. We have to, you know, have people code. We have to have people in technology, because there's no way that we can win this global race of competition if we don't have people that can do that. And while that can be used for good, what we're seeing happen through education, especially through an assignment where you're taking a serial killer mm-hmm. who in real life did horrible things, and you're supposedly saying, oh, well, it's okay, because, you know, we're looking at this 1790 dude who wrote this book. His was pure out speculation and satire and trying to raise awareness. He did not go out and harm a child or eat one. Dahmer, on the other hand, absolutely did. So we need to make sure that we're taking and seeing a terrible reality glorified, and then trying to justify it with something that was used to, you know, to start a conversation, to raise awareness, to start a government getting a solution going. But I wanted to point out that over in China, there is a game that is used through the artificial intelligence and will put the information on the blockchain. And it's a game that will promote suicide over cannibalism. And it's called The Wolf That Preferred Suicide Over Eating Sheep.
My God, that is so sick. So that whatever choice you make, mm-hmm. in some way you remove yourself from society, either physically or at least from a standpoint of being an integral positive force, mm-hmm. it's all negative. I mean, how do you get? Now I kind of understand now why children have these anxieties. The suicide rate among kids is higher than it's ever been. COVID has definitely pushed it in the wrong direction. But if this lesson plans and this setup has been inundating, inoculating our health. I'm sorry. Well, I guess it is our healthcare system too.
It is.
But I mean, our education system. Then what are these poor children? I mean, we didn't have this. We didn't even think this. We were just kids. We were learning what we in a positive way. This is totally sick.
Well, it absolutely is twisted. But again, when you look at the roots of this, you know, this is literally good versus evil. This is, mm-hmm. you know, this is a out and out manifestation of the spiritual warfare that we are seeing go on, and it is using our children. But, you know, here's the thing, how it's also playing into education. The Every Student Succeeds Act, by and large, took the biggest increase of power to the Department of Health and Human Services in the name of mental health strategies. Now, mental health is very key to a well-rounded person. I don't care what age you are, mm-hmm. but it has zero business in education. It needs to be in healthcare exclusively because that's where your healthcare professionals who are qualified and have studied this belong. They are not in the education system, but because we have a government that is bent on manipulating attitudes, values, and beliefs in the name of supposedly government prescribed outcomes, what else do you expect?
But you can see this coming because years ago, you know, 20, 25 years ago, maybe 30 now, mm-hmm. there was this movement of teachers being given the power to tell parents, your child needs to be on ADHD medication. They need to be medicated mm-hmm. or they won't be allowed to come to school. Now, you're right. Teachers do a lot of things, but they're not psychologists. They're not trained for that. And the power that they had to medicate your child and to put them into situations, special ed, et cetera, mm-hmm. that changed the outcome of so many children's future. And of course, you follow the money, right? So I can imagine how much money got thrown into special ed and to having this. I mean, it's the same playbook.
Right. Well, that's why the funding stream for Title I schools went from per pupil need. So it was there for the children who needed it. It went to whole school. So that way you could test everyone for behavior assessment and you could label everyone whether they had an issue or they truly didn't. I mean, we're seeing this so used against our families that you're seeing five-year-olds diagnosed with learning disabilities when they're simply being a five-year-old.
Let's even take this a step further. This, we know we've talked about the gender confusion and neutrality. Let's link that. I think you can link that to AI, can't you? Because AI mm-hmm. is not about being man or woman.
Right.
It's about not being anything. Robots aren't, they're sexless. Yeah. So if you have an AI approach to things, you don't want people to identify as mm-hmm. anything except a thing, essentially.
Well, what you're supposed to identify is either competent or non-competent or incompetent, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Wrong word there. But yeah, that's it. And that's why you have all this skill-based learning that has taken away from the academics. Because if you'll think about it, if we were going to study Dr. Swift's booklet, we would have done it in an English class. We would have approached it in a totally different manner than this horrible exercise featuring a serial killer that has popped up.
Well, it's really about desensitization, though.
Yeah, it is.
So if the lesson plan is to, and they really went to town with some of their thoughts about this. This was a well thought out group exercise. Mm-hmm. Kind of, if they'd spend as much time on learning how to really read and write, it would be nice.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to make people make a glorify violence and glorify.
Right.
It's just, did the parents, I know that this is an article that you wrote, but what mm-hmm. did the parents say about this? Did they actually make a statement? Did they contact the school, the teacher who had this lesson plan? What
you
happened
know,
with this?
That's an answer. Yeah, that is an interesting question. I do know that the original group who posted about this did say that this was so upsetting to so many students and to so many parents that they did contact their school board. But in my article, I gave you the dates for the rest of the school board meetings till the end mm-hmm. of the year.
Correct.
And I said, if you happen to live near this particular school, go show up. Tell them what you like. Tell them what you don't like, you know, because I realize there are going to be some people that are like, you know, well, I'm glad that my dollars go to the public school system so they can't have any religious leanings whatsoever. You know, there are people who are like that. Then you're going to have some who are like you and I who are going to go, you've got to be kidding me. There's no way I want my child to even participate in something like this. But then I also ask in my article, look, parents, if you're somewhere outside of the state of Georgia and you see something like this, let me know, because the more we know, Dr. Elena, the more we can help each other. Yes, you're based in Georgia. I'm not. This particular lesson is based in Georgia, but let's say one of your listeners lives somewhere else and they've seen this or they've seen similar. They would be able to say, hey, Dr. George, I know something. Let's talk about it. Because again, the more we know, the more we can fight back.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. And, you know, I think we separate ourselves in so many different segments. And everybody seems to think that because they have a certain frame of reference that it's anti everybody else. Mm-hmm. They did a masterful job of making us highlight what separates us, whether you are God-fearing, whether you don't believe in God. I think every parent, I would hope, has mm-hmm. the best interests of their child. And to have a child be damaged in some way, to come home crying or come home feeling less than, mm-hmm. that should infuriate every single parent. And I don't care what your frame of reference is. This has to be something that we can all stand together on. It's time, I think, for everybody to stop standing against something, and now time to stand for something, because that would nullify their power, because it's all against all of us. And, you know, before you answer that, let's take our second break. You're Living in the Solution.
You're listening to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George, consumer healthcare advocate.
Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Lynn Taylor. You know, before the break, I was trying to get the point across that everything is against something. You're anti-vax, you're anti-discrimination. How about everybody being for something for a change that we can all stand together with? There's certain things that are certain tenets. I don't care who you are, that you should be up in arms about. Hurting children, damaging their psyche, putting them in a position where they can't succeed with the talents that we're all given, and to stand against that and to herd children down a pathway that's damaging. I don't care who you are. You should be able to be, I guess, with it.
Yeah.
Enough.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's why I ended the email that I sent you, you know, with fight for the children, because that's what we need to be focusing on. But let me point out, you were talking about damaging the psyche. When I first read this particular assignment, and, you know, I saw the response where it said, you know, we're going to take all the people from the orphanages and the kids in foster care. I'm sitting here thinking, what happens if I'm that student sitting in that classroom and I happen to be from one of those institutions?
Good question.
That means it's going to be me. And how frightening is that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about it like that.
Oh, I did. And I'm sitting here, oh my goodness, because, you know, both those groups of people have it so hard anyway. And now you're going to learn that, according to this particular assignment, that you're literally nothing more than food, that's got to be absolutely damaging. But I wanted to bring up one thing as far as from a corporate attitude, because we know that our government has so sold out the citizens for corporate America and for corporate globalism and for the special interest groups. I wanted to point out that LinkedIn has an article about the blockchain and cannibalism. Okay. Blockchain uses algorithms from artificial intelligence to pigeonhole and identify where people, or in this case, students, belong. The technology is being used on everyone and will only increase as we become less free from government control. And it's this particular point, it's point number six from this particular article. And sadly, I found this after I published mine. So this will not be in the diabolical education article that I wrote. But let me just see, and I did send you the link. So if you want to share that with anybody, you can. But this is the particular point that most ties to education because it is about technology. All right. This is a series of 6 points, and this is the last one, and it says technology. Last but certainly not least, companies should be constantly searching for any and all new technologies, processes, applications, or any other combination of them that could impact their business or industry. Well, let me pause right there. The social and emotional learning industry expects by the year 2027, Dr. Elena, to make a profit in the billions of dollars off of families and students in education. Now, let me finish what this particular point says. An example of this sort of combination for technology would be Uber, because it uses a mobile app to cannibalize ride sharing and taxi services. In addition, companies should be actively looking at many emerging technologies such as artificial intelligence, Internet of Things, blockchain, and how they can potentially help them to be a better cannibal.
Well, you send a theme here, don't you? They're very aggressive about their messaging. This just pervades the system. And it shows up in so many different unassuming ways. Like mental health has become a theme somehow. I'm seeing it pop up in sports. There's all these articles that are now showing up of athletes who, you know, even though they're the best in their field, they feel put upon and they have to take a mental health break. It's happening in golf, tennis. We're seeing it in basketball. It's amazing. And now the school system, like I always have a question when it seems to be that integrated and that messaging, it's just on point, almost like it's a, how can I put it? When people they're trying to get a new product out and they're trying to get people to think a certain way, 5G, for example, it's everywhere. And so you become desensitized. You know, I must have that too. I must need it too. My child must have that problem.
Yes.
And every time there's a problem, they got a solution, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they do. But here's the thing. It's about profit. It's not about healthcare. It's not about your mental stability. It is about profit. And when you've got social and emotional learning entities who have nothing to do with education, but because the law of the land is the every student succeeds at, and it does give a green light to everybody and his cousin coming in and micromanaging your student while they're at school, or either through the services that are related, because we do know that not every child goes to a public school, but we do know that a lot of children in their communities, due to all kinds of situations, have access to educational services. And again, because the healthcare system was given the green light to just open Pandora's box, this is what we're seeing as a result. Now, I want to share with the audience, if you go to my blog, you're going to see some related articles that you can find that will tell you a little bit more about how all this can tie together. And one of them was all about the gaming system and how those algorithms and blockchain items will be used against us. And that was from 2019. It was called education virtually tied. I do have a search bar so you can look these things up. Then the social and emotional dangers that face our nation as aligned to the Common Core State Standards for All Ages. This was from March of this year, and it's called Social and Emotional Learning for All. And then from 2020, the Computer Science for All Act lives on through Congress, and that was Carrying On was the name of that article.
I mean, the blockchain, I'm not sure people really know what that is. I mean, initially I thought it was something, let's say for voting, it makes sense. You can't go and vote twice because you are identified in such a way digitally that you can't cheat the system.
Right.
That makes sense from a, since we know what goes on in the voting realm, it makes perfect sense. But when you start talking about education, about social interaction and entry into the system, and, you know, quite frankly, I don't think it should be a system because it cannot be one size fits all. Everybody's different. Everybody has a talent. Everybody is special in what they're able to offer. So to categorize somebody based on their sex, their age, their race, where they come from, their socioeconomic status is completely just degrading them into this, distilling them into the lowest common denominator.
Absolutely. But what are we seeing? We're seeing the system use that as a widget. But you know, here's the thing about blockchain. Now, I've got two wonderful friends who have devoted quite a bit of research into explaining these because it is such a hard concept to wrap your head around. But basically, what my friend Allison, and she writes Wrench in the Gears, that's the name of her blog. And then my good friend Lynn Davenport in Texas also is part of a media company where she is putting out information about how the social impact bonds that our cities are using will tie into this as well. But the, what the blockchain suggests is just what the name says. You're taking tiny bits of data that would be the blocks, and you're putting them in a chain that is specific to you, Dr. Elena, or specific to me. And in it, you will have all these little data bits that will pretty much put you through the system's definition of where you belong. And that's what makes this so dangerous.
But that widget system means that you can never advance. You can never be better.
And that's the point.
Because that's so ridiculous.
You cannot have a nanny state if you have non-conforming people.
Isn't that the case? And they're doing it socially now by making you feel that you are something's wrong with you mentally. So you basically take yourself out of the equation because you can't do something because you're a woman, because you're Black, because you're whatever group they put you in. It's always a damaged group. Is there anybody who can just succeed based on working hard and merit? That's what they've taken out of this equation. It's your damaged goods. There's no way you can do it without the help of the government.
Well, and here's what I'm seeing is, that if you do happen to belong to someone who's supposedly in their eyes not damaged, okay, and you are doing some things that are successful, somehow you're going to become the problem.
Well, because you're able to work outside the system, right? You don't need it.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody who's a thinking person would think this is an awful system. It's not sustainable. It's not going to make anybody feel good about themselves. And it becomes self-perpetuating where you do feel bad and you take yourself out of the game because why bother? Why play the game if you can't win it, right?
Well, let's think about this. And you're correct. Let's think about this. Majority of the work that is done, like in this particular example that is just so horrible, they were supposed to work in groups. Now, when I went through school, and I'm not saying it has to be just like that now because I realize things have changed. But one of the things that we've noticed is that, you know, for a long, long time, the way that we taught was very successful. It hasn't been until the Common Core machine rolled in that, oh, no, we can't do anything we used to do because it's all junk and we have to start all over. And this is part of what we're seeing as the result. But where I'm going as far as what I remember, I did almost 95% of my work by myself. There might have been once a year or once every couple of years that there was a group project, Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you did not have what we're seeing happen today with group projects. What you had back then was, okay, everybody in that group was assigned something. They were not left to their own devices to go, well, I'll do this and you do that and blah, 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 blah. But what we're seeing now happen, replacing individual grades, is that they've shifted over to group grades. And what we're seeing again is the workers are few and the slackers are many, because you're seeing folks get in these groups and no one's really taking charge. Or if they are, they're so taking the limelight that no one else has anything to do. So there's really no balance is what I'm trying to get out. And that's what's making the difference. So whether you really worked in that group and you got your work done and it's deserving of whatever letter grade, you're going to get it. But if you didn't do the work because you're in the group, you're still going to get that same grade. That's creating a sense of unfairness, and that will unfortunately bring about conflict.
Well, let's take a break and listen and think about that, because that's so pervasive of our society, I think, at this point. It's sick. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I keep saying that, but that's how I feel. It's ill. It's making us ill. So on that note, let's take our last break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Lynn Taylor. And before the break, it just came to me, I'm like an epiphany, that this system is anti-human in so many different profound ways. Where's the joy in this system, Lynn? Where's the child figuring out that I did something I thought I couldn't do? I'm better than I thought I was. I can succeed. That's missing in the system.
Absolutely it is. And I think you bring up a really, really good point, because we are so missing joy, and that not just in our schools, but in our society as a whole. And, you know, I've been talking with a licensed psychologist, and she was saying that, you know, it's because we're in such a trauma-induced society, probably since 9/11, and it's, you know, it kind of peaked and then it went down, and well, now it's up again. But see, the thing about it, the difference is that particular episode was very short-lived for most of the nation, okay? Mm-hmm. Not all the nation, but for most of it. But here, this one has lagged on and lagged on and lagged on. And now we're seeing, you know, prices increase, and we're seeing shortages of supplies and things like that. And again, it's just burden upon burden being heaped on our shoulders. And we have to remember that we as human beings will literally fall down on our faces due to so many mental or physical burdens. And here's the thing, the people who are running this particular show know that. And what are they doing? They've created the problem. They're supposedly rushing in with a solution so that you will look at them and go, oh, thank you. You are the one that's helped me get all this stuff done. When mm-hmm. we as a people have forgotten our God, because that is God's place, not the government's.
I think you're absolutely right. And then there's hope with God. There is faith. There is the feeling that maybe I can't do it, but there is a higher power that has my good for my good at heart, right? That's missing in this system. It's very mercenary. And, you know, something else that strikes me about it, it's that you get rewarded for falling into this trap. You get rewarded for feeling that I can be unempathetic, I can be no compassion, and I'll get rewarded in this system. Right. That's not. And I get mm-hmm. rewarded for being part of a group who can't succeed, who feels less than. Somehow there's a weird reward for being injured and for glorying in it and for wallowing in it, and also for hurting other people. Yeah. Hurt people hurt people. I think that's one of those statements that I've really learned as an adult. You have to really have a mindset of what's somebody's motivation for lashing out, for hurting other people. You have to really think, but in the system, you don't think that. It's just a cycle of pain, hate, injury. It's like trauma-based learning is what this is.
That is precisely what it should be called, because it is not social and emotional learning. It's social and emotional manipulation. And many people have called that out. But I just happen to think, you know, these students who are going through this particular lesson that is, you know, supposedly having them set up a Dahmer business, there was an assignment. I was probably a junior or senior in high school, and this was in rural South Georgia where I grew up. And our teacher said, and this was in English, you know, I want you to do an assignment. And it was all about witchcraft and witches and that sort of thing. Now, I absolutely, and there were probably about five of us in the classroom. And we said, you know, no. We're not doing it. And the teacher was not happy with us. We ended up failing that particular project because we refused to do it. But what we did was we went home and we told our parents what was going on. And our parents met with the teacher and like, you know, look, give them an alternative assignment, do something. Well, he, you know, the teacher had dug his heels in and no, he wasn't going to do it. If we weren't going to participate, then he wasn't either. So, you know, not a very mature example whatsoever. But the point of it was that those four other people and myself decided to take the zero because we did not want to participate in something that we ideologically just totally disagreed with.
Mm-hmm. And that's
and
a,
I don't
that's a
know
lesson.
If I don't know if any of the students with this Dahmer assignment, you know, I would hope somebody would have stood up and said no, mm-hmm. but you know, I wasn't there. I don't know.
That's one of the main things about becoming an adult, with that boundary, that play, that line that you're not going to cross. Kids are not really, I mean, I applaud you for that because you had a sense of self. I'm sure God was center of your family's life. So it's kind of easy when you know that there's a higher power and there's a higher good, that man can't step in the middle of that. And that's why I think taking God out of schools, taking prayer out of schools, taking something outside of the powers that be, the local power, they want to be the end all be all. They want to be the only thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, looking at this emotional learning, it seems to me that you're right. COVID has become so pervasive. This fear of death, that's one of the major fears for children, that they would lose their parent, that the death is somehow, it never really enters our mind. At least it didn't back in the day. But now it's forefront. You're seeing it every day. And if you don't do this, you'll die. If it's this, right. It's overwhelming fear. And I think, first of all, you can't learn in that environment. And second of all, it primes you for them to come in and comfort you and decide how we can manipulate your feelings so that it will make you feel better. No one can make you feel better. I mean, even your parents should be the people who are doing that. And I think that's been usurped by the school, hasn't it?
Well, it absolutely is, because, you know, the parents are supposed to be the nurturers. The school was supposed to be in support of what mm-hmm. the families chose. But no, the school and the system and the agenda has absolutely usurped that power. And, you know, here's the thing. We're all going to die. We don't know what of or when. So sitting here and having kids of all ages so twisted up with fear that, you know, hey, something's going to happen to mom and dad or grandma or grandpa, mm-hmm. you know, because of this, and it's going to be the flavor of the month, is so wrong. Because what happens for the parent the child who, like for time eternal, has gone to school and, you know, hey, something happened to mom or dad that was, you know, a car accident, or maybe it was cancer, or who knows what. There are ways to help that child deal with that, but it's not a constant, oh, well, it's going to be this one big bad thing and it's going to be the only thing, and forget about all the other ways because they won't matter because it's always going to be this. That's so damaging.
It's cruel, frankly. Mm-hmm. And I think you can even superimpose that it's something that you do that can cause it. You don't wear your mask, it'll cause it. If you don't take a shot, it'll cause it. You are the reason, or your choices or your feelings or your belief system is the reason that you're going to suffer. That's upping the ante to me.
Yes, you know? But it's being spun negatively, though, instead of it being embraced as a positive. Hey,
oh, no,
you're
I
making,
agree.
Yeah, you're making a choice. You're doing this. You're doing that. No, it's spun as a negative. And why? Because so many people have stopped communicating and only relying on the misinformation that our mainstream media has poured into this, because it's all a bought and paid for system, just like the education aspect, just like the healthcare aspect. It's mm-hmm. all bought and paid for.
It's so schizophrenic, though, because either it's doom and gloom, or you get really seriously, or you get rewarded for being part of the whole, you know,
yeah.
From healthcare system, we went from being physicians to being part of a healthcare team, to being from physicians and nurses to providers. They've done this in every single aspect of our society, and people fell into the trap mm-hmm. of someone cares about me. Someone's going to take care of me. Or the other side, the lazy side, I don't have to work. I can just get something for nothing. There is nothing. Nothing's for free. Nothing.
Right. Right. Absolutely. It isn't. Somebody somewhere is going to pay for it. But, you know, in the education aspect of all this, teachers no longer teach. They facilitate. They absolutely do. And that's a shame, because I'm going to tell you, I had some wonderful teachers who were real leaders, and they were not afraid to tell you, I don't have all the answers, or, you know, mm-hmm. or the big one was, go ask your mom and dad.
Mm. That's not the case anymore, is it?
I don't think so. I really don't.
Now, I know we don't have a lot of time left, but I want to make sure that people know how to reach you and how to read this article that you wrote, because everything you're right on the cusp of things. And unlike a lot of, I'd say majority of our country, you actually read. You're not just talking at your rear. You actually go and read these 2,000 page tomes from the UN and from the government agencies, because honestly, they give me a headache. I don't know how you do it, but it's somebody who's actually spent the time. And that's what really, I love having you on the show, because what you're telling us is you're doing a lot of the legwork for us, and with and you're a blessing for doing that. But we need to actually start doing our research as well. And you're helping
yes.
us, you're educating us on where we should start looking and how
right.
parents should think about it.
Right. Well, let me just, and thank you so much for all that, because it is something that I really feel called to do. And it's wonderful to be able to have the background where I can actually do it, because, you know, I did not get a college degree. Let me put it this way. I didn't finish my college degree. So everything that I am able to do is because I had a solid enough foundation, but I also have a God who is mightier than anybody. And he has, those two together are a win-win. So with that said, let me just say that the blog is commoncorediva.com. You can find the particular article with the Dahmer assignment that is called Diabolical Education, and the other links that I was telling you about. If you go back in the archive, you can listen. Just use the search bar there and you can absolutely access any of the information. You can contact me through the particular website as well. I also have a donate button, so that if anyone wishes to financially bless my work, that is provided for them as well.
Lynn, I love you. Thank you so much for coming on. I can't wait to have you on again, because I learn every time you come on, and we have to really buckle down. And every move that we make, it has to mean something and stand for mm-hmm. something. Otherwise, we're going to be swept away. So thank you so much for joining me, and thank you for everything you do.
And thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.